Good morning, sir. Welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. And before we get started, what is your name, sir?
My name is Kenneth W. Reed.
Okay, Mr. Reed, just hold on. The Honorable Mr. Neal is going to conduct your hearing, so just hold on to the phone. He'll be with you shortly, sir.
Okay, sir, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Alright, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Okay, my name is Kenneth W. Reed, 10824.
Thank you, sir. We're ready for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning, reference to a bill hearing. I'm going to introduce the floor of the board members that will come back to hearing this morning. On the screen to your far left is Honorable Rittenhouse. The Honorable Dr. C.T. White, who's our board chairman. To the far right is the Honorable Lee Thomas. My name is David Green, and I'll be the hearing lead. So we're going to go over some information and about your case, your sentences, and so forth. If you hear something that doesn't sound quite right, let me know and we'll discuss it. And as we go on, questions, different things like that, but we'll get into a lengthy discussion after the basic information, okay?
Okay, so what you're saying is that as you go along with this reading these reports, each other is a discrepancy to what you hear about you?
Yeah, if you hear something, if I say something that you think is incorrect, let me know and we'll discuss it, okay?
Okay.
We get a packet of information. Doesn't always include everything about your case. If you don't have the case reports or the court transcripts or everything. So we get a condensed version and we rely on that. So some of the information may be incorrect. All I'm saying is if you hear something that isn't incorrect, let me know and we'll talk about it, okay?
Would there have been a possibility of my obtaining a copy of those reports before the hearing so that we could be better prepared?
Well, that's entirely up to you and your CO3s. If the information is sent to the board, we give you whatever we have. Most of the information the board gets from public records. It's not the board's responsibility to make sure that you have all the information. It's your responsibility through your CO3 to make sure that you get what you ask for to prepare for it. If you send something in, it'll be with the packet that we have if we get it in time for here.
Okay, so the CO3 in 30 years may have been to the board.
Okay, well, sir, you appeared in front of the board, I believe, last year, maybe 2017. December 12th of 2017, you appeared before the board at that time. And you had several hearings along the way for parole, some ex-consecutive sentence, and so I would hope that by now you pretty much understand the process. And like I say, December 12th of 2017, you appeared before the board. You were denied, but you appeared before the board at that time. So we've had, at that time, I'm sure it was explained to you, it would be about a year, and you'd be back before the board. So you've had a year to prepare for this, over a year to prepare for this, sir.
Exactly. But let me tell you, the level of, we will not be able to obtain information would surprise you. CO3s are very forthcoming with information, but...
So the CO3 doesn't have the information. They can help you figure out who to request it from. And, if you came before the board a year ago and you didn't have a bill, you had a year to prepare for this. So we need to move on with this hearing. When were you notified that the hearing would happen today, sir?
A couple of weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago?
Well, I said it correctly, it was 3/18/19, so it was a little bit.
Yes, sir. March 18th, so a month ago. Okay, well, we need to move forward with the hearing first, so if you heard something that you think is incorrect, we'll discuss it, okay?
Okay.
All right, so you're serving on the zoning now?
Yes.
All right. You're serving a 21-year sentence for armed robbery, which began on June 24, 2003. You had four sentences initially, and they were from two separate offenses. The first cause was CR-929-1564, and it involved an offense committed at a, at a Best Buy. A little confusion in the paperwork I had as to exactly which incident, but the Best Buy was mentioned in the appeal. That's where I got that information. But the incident from the first offense was June 8th of 1992. So the first sentence was a 10-year sentence for aggravated assault and a consecutive 4-year sentence for aggravated assault. The second cause was CR-96C00992, which was the armed robbery of a Lewis armored car office. And that had two sentences. The first was a 21-year sentence for armed robbery, and the second one was a consecutive 21-year sentence for conspiracy to commit armed robbery. So that on June 24th, 2003, you had expired the 10-year sentence from the first cause, and you were granted parole to your next consecutive sentence for the 4-year sentence. From the 4-year sentence to the 21-year sentence. And that's what you're currently serving. You became parole eligible on December 18, 2018, and you were certified for this hearing, which is for parole to your next consecutive sentence, or after discharge on December 12, 2018. This is your 11th time before the board, but it is your first time for this sentence. The 412B to do two good sentences, but regardless, you've been with that board a total of 11 times. That's another reason why I don't understand why you aren't prepared or you claim to not have, be able to get all the information. You've had many, many, many years to do that, sir. All right, so you have a letter dated April 15, 2019, which is a letter of opposition from the Yuma County Attorney's Office. I'm going to go over some of the information they have there, and that is
what is the date
in
that letter again?
April 15th, 2019. So, according to this letter, Deputy County Attorney that was writing this letter was going over the case files, and it seems that on December 11th, 1989, and this is the sentences you're currently on, that you armed an accomplice of yours who was also armed under the Yuma premises of Yuma's armored car. The guard, Johnny Tavares and Manuel Lorama, to lie down and you handcuffed them. And you took over $1 million in cash and checks. And it seems that you were convicted by jury of one charge was armed robbery with a deadly weapon, and the other one was conspiracy to commit armed robbery with a deadly weapon. Now, there's some other information in here. It was like you appealed. I think you had two appeals, and it was all affirmed, at least one, but two appeals. So in the pre-sentence report, information that was a little bit hard to glean was exactly what transpired with the other ones. But like I said, it had appeared, there was a Best Buy mentioned, and I'm trying to find the other pre-sentence report. Like I said, we get information. We rely on pre-sentence reports, which are synopsis of what happened in different cases. And the one that was talking about the Loomis, like I said, the other one is I think I have a little bit more information as we go on. So, but basically, that the crime that you committed, that it was the sentence you're serving at this time, and you want to move to the other sentence involved the Loomis armed car robbery. The other assault was not the Best Buy. That was mentioned in there, but we didn't have a prosecutor in the Best Buy. But we beat up Mary Reed, Peter Savoy, Shirley, and had 2 counts of aggravated assault. And what happened was, is you had gotten away with the Loomis robbery and were still loose in society when you did the Best Buy, but they didn't prosecute that one. However, you also got in a fight and severely beat Mary Reed, and that's the one you were convicted on. And you had to do those sentences prior to starting the Loomis. Okay, so now earlier on, you've had minimum discipline while you've been in, but you've also had minimum programming. The evidence of family or community support. And I already mentioned the letter of opposition from the Miracle County Attorney's Office. And we don't have any victims present in the boardroom today. So, sir, it seemed like you had a fairly violent criminal history, although it wasn't a lot of different things, it was pretty much all violent. Have you taken any programs since you've been in for anger management or to address those kind of issues about your assaulty behavior?
Well, I'm amused by the question because I don't have an assaulted behavior, as you say. Again, you know, some of those reports that you're trying to glean information from are inaccurate. I was not aware that there was an opposition letter by the County Sheriff's Office. I can't understand why I wouldn't be privy to that, you know, as an opportunity to refute it. At 71 years old, if you think of her anger issues, no, I don't. If your condition of what occurred in that prior case with Mary Reed, the fact remains that she attempted to stick me with a knife, and her getting hurt was the result of my protecting myself. You see, so we're going to retry that case. I would suggest giving me the opportunity to call some witnesses and let's have a jury trial and we can start at the word go. But apparently it's your object here today to prejudice me with your rendition of what occurred, long before, you were a board member. And trying to put on a meeting to address anger issues, I have no anger issues. You can
I was in Houston, Texas, okay? The Bureau of County Sheriff's Office meeting with Patsy, and so the Bureau of County Attorney's Office went along with the program. The police officer stopped me at a traffic stop on or about the same day that this robbery occurred. They were trying to end from coming up to Yuma to testify on my behalf. You know, to prove that he made a traffic stop on or about that same day. There are some things that have just been lost over in these many years. And then even if you look back at the record that these people who did this armed robbery, quite obviously, and I've read the police reports, and you just read a synopsis of it, that they came in very peaceably, tied them up, and took the money. But now there's, you know, even if you impute my having done that to me, right, where's the anguish? How badly were these people beaten? They weren't. Were they shot? No, they weren't shot. So apparently whoever did this robbery doesn't really have an anger issue, but who was you doing that on me? Protecting myself? That's not an anger issue. I'm sorry, I can't go along with the program. As far as what I've done with rehabilitating myself, there's no need for rehabilitating myself for a crime I didn't commit. Okay, so you all three of you folks who are sitting there today are registering in your mind denial, denial, denial. Of course I'm denying it. I'm denying it 20 years later because it didn't occur. And we know.
Let me, sir, let me ask you a couple of questions. You claimed that you were in another state and that there was a traffic violation and a kind of a crime and the officer wasn't allowed to come. But you went through a trial. You were indicted and went through a trial. And then I believe you went through a trial and I'm sure if there was valid evidence that would have helped keep you from being convicted, your attorney would have at least made an attempt to get it in front of the court, and upon appeal that would have been an issue. And I'm looking here now just to make sure I believe you had two appeals and it was thrown both times. So now you're telling me that you didn't commit this crime, but two appeals and your convictions and sentences were upheld on both appeals. So basically you have three trials, one by a jury and two just by judges reviewing the case. And they all say, you know, we're not convinced 12 jurors that you committed that crime. Your family members said that you showed up with bags full of money and that you were flaunting around and everything. So I just, and I'm not going to sit here and can't reach out of case. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. But, so you say you didn't commit the crime?
I absolutely.
Okay, now let me ask you about the other one. The other sentences, because you brought up the specific circumstances about defending yourself. I believe you were tried on that one, and there was enough evidence to indicate that even if you were in self-defense, you went way beyond what should have been done, because you were, there was two aggravated assault charges. One for beating her up, and I think the other one was because you got into it where somebody else had tried to help her, or maybe you hit her on a second occasion, assaulted her on a second occasion. So that is... That's pretty violent. That's anger management is aimed at helping people calm down their propensity to commit dangerous crimes sometimes they're aggravated assault and all that. So anger management isn't just because we think you might have a lot of anger, but you've got issues about assaultive behavior and stuff. And when you go into a place with guns and force people lay down in your handcuffs, that's assaultive. It's not passive, it's assaultive. And it's extremely dangerous. So let's move on beyond that then. And you already answered several of my questions. You said you don't need rehabilitation because you didn't commit the crime, so we'll just completely go past what you've done in the last however long you've been in there to make yourself ready to go back into society. And I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions. Okay, sir. Well, wait a minute, sir. You have an opportunity in a minute, sir. Okay? There are no questions from my fellow board members at this time, so we're nearing the end of your hearing. But before we go into discussion and make a determination, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything new that you think we might need to know before we make our decision. And we just ask that you not repeat the information that we've already covered, sir. So now's your opportunity to make that statement.
Well, something else I find very amusing is that your admonition to me that I have not prepared myself to go into society. It seems to me at the beginning of your speech there, didn't you say something about this oral hearing being more important to the next second sentence of 21 years? So exactly how am I supposed to prepare to go back into society when I'm going to another 21-year sentence? That was beyond amusing. I mean, that gets into a ludicrous analogy. I prepare for society in another year or two. Analogy is, I'm not going anywhere for 21 more years. You don't fail to see the logical inconsistency there, Mr. Neal?
Oh, this is time for your statement, sir, not question. So, are you done with your statement?
Well, you
began and you're limited on time, so you've got about 2 minutes to summarize your final statement, sir.
Okay, if we've got 2 minutes, then let's just go ahead and end it now, and we can't agree for you anyway. No. Thank you very much. May I go now?
Thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion now. You can stay on the phone and listen to the entire discussion, but we ask that you remain silent. Once we've made a decision, I'll be back to you, okay? Are you going to miss Mr. Reed pick up the phone? Are you going to listen to the discussion?
Is there any point?
Okay, we're going into discussion, make a determination. Stay on the phone, just remain silent. I'll get right back to you, sir, okay? What is now discussion? Well, Mr. Reed is definitely has an attitude about his situation. I don't think you understand that moving to the next and second sentence shows himself the time that he might have to face in prison. And that he would be parole eligible in about 14 or 15 years, I think, somewhere around that. And that would be a return to society. But he's already stated that he didn't commit the crime, so he doesn't need to be rehabilitated. It doesn't think he ever had an anger problem. And apparently it doesn't take that pointing guns at people and making them lay down and putting them in total fear of life is an assaultive type behavior. But based on everything that I have read and based on everything I've heard from Mr. Reed today, I don't see them as a candidate for moving to the next consecutive sentence. So I want to listen to discussion from the fellow board members. So based on all the information we have before us today and the conversation with Mr. Reed, I want to make a motion to deny parole to make protective sentence or absolute discharge at this time. With the date of the crime, I want to put for a winner of self. I want to move my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Motion number self stated by Mr. Canales, agree that outright agreement is Rittenhouse. And the reason we believe is a serious and violent offense, multiple victims, prior criminal history, repeat offender, lack of programming, a history of assaulting behavior, poor demeanor, burn the hearing, and also the community support. Is there anything else that anybody would like to add to that? Okay, so Mr. Reed, you heard the decision and the reason. Do I need to go over any of that with you?
No. And this is foreordained.
All right, well, this is what you heard, sir. Would you please put the CO3 back on the phone now?